We're glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
Now, you will notice that Jesus, our God, made a covenant with Abraham. Now, the covenant that God made with Abraham was a blood covenant. It was the strongest thing going. There's nothing like it, nothing any stronger than the blood covenant. That covenant meant simply this: what you have belongs to me, and what I have belongs to you, even to your life if I require it. Now, Abraham was going along there, you know, the promised child had come, and he's already just about grown now. And God comes to him one day and says, "Now, go offer your son as a sacrifice." That used to make me so mad. I'd read that and I'd say, "God, why did you do that? You're the one who said, thou shalt not kill. And here you are asking Abraham to go kill his son. And it's the son you promised him." And I just couldn't understand that. The Bible said God tempted Abraham. Now, the better word for that in the Hebrew is he proved him. He had to prove the covenant valid. Because if Abraham will not keep the covenant, then the covenant is illegal. And God knew Satan's going to challenge it. So he asked Abraham to prove the covenant, and he raised the knife to kill the child. You know the story. And the angel of the Lord called to him. If Abraham had not been willing to offer his son, it would have been illegal for God to give his son to redeem mankind. The whole plan of redemption hinged on what Abraham did. If he did not validate that covenant, then the plan of redemption wouldn't work. Because it would be illegal then for God to put his son in the earth. But because Abraham gave his, it was legal for God to give his son. Now, let me quote you a quote from, I think it's about the 22nd chapter of Genesis. God said, "Because thou hast done this thing." See, God considered he did it. God considered, it's written in the book of Hebrews, that God received him in a figure. And far as heaven and the universe is concerned, Abraham killed his son and offered him as a sacrifice. God considers it done because he raised the knife to do it, and that proved, that stamped that covenant valid forever and made it legal for God to send his son. God said, "Because thou hast done this thing, then thy seed shall possess the gates of thine enemies." Now that's shouting ground, folks. If you know anything about back in those days, if you had control of the gates, in those days, they had the cities walled, and if you control the gates, you control the city. And he said, "Your seed will possess the gates of their enemies." Now, I said all that to bring you into the view of what God has done. He has restored mankind. Jesus died. He was raised from the dead. He lived and walked perfect upright under that old covenant before he died. God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and healing power, where he could heal the sick, cast out demons, and do all the destroying of the work of the devil. That's what he really came to do. 1 John 3:8, the latter part of the verse says, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Now, he had to be a man. He had to have the body of a man, because the body gives you authority on this earth. John 10:10, Jesus gives you some great insight into that. He says, "He that entered not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbed up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." Now, the sheepfold is the earth, and the door is a legal entry into the earth, represents a legal entry, which is being born here. The legal entry into this planet is being born here. Any spirit being in this earth that is not born here does not have authority here. Satan is an illegal alien to this planet. He's specifically referring to Satan, demons, and evil spirits. They're illegal on this planet. They have no authority. They can do very little unless they can get in somebody. They have to have a body to manifest themselves. By the same token, God can do very little in this planet unless He can get in somebody. Now, I know that's hard for religious people to believe, but I challenge you to study the Word of God. God has made a covenant so legal, and this earth lease, until it runs out, then God has already done. Listen to me now. God has already done all He's ever going to do about the devil until the earth lease runs out. He can't do anymore. You heard me right. He can't do anymore unless He can do it through the body. Through the body. Because God is a spirit. He was not born on this earth. He gave this earth lease to man. Man sold it out to the devil. The devil came up with the lease. But when Jesus died, went to the hell, He spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly. He stripped the keys of death, hell, and the grave from Satan. He got back that rightful authority. He stood on the mountain in the 28th chapter of Matthew and He said, "All power is given to me both in heaven and earth." He said, "I got it all." Well, if He had it all, didn't leave Satan any, did He? See, the only right that Satan had was what he usurped from Adam through deception. When Jesus stood on that mountain and said, I have all power both in heaven and earth, He had stripped Satan. And I'll tell you the truth, Satan's streaking there now. He don't have a thing to wear. His authority has been stripped from him. But if you don't know that, he will run over you roughshod and make you think that he's the one with the authority. Jesus came and He restored men. Now, when He stood there and said, "All power and authority is given to me both in heaven and earth," the 16th chapter of Mark records it. He says, "Now you go in my name. You cast out the demons. You speak with new tongues. You lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." See, He delegated that authority back to the body of Christ. And that's where it rightfully is today. Now, can you understand why the Apostle Paul says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Because Jesus ascended to the Father and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And He's going to sit there until His enemies are made His footstool. Now we have become the body of Christ. We're the only body that Jesus has on the earth today. If the gospel's going to be preached, it must be preached through the body. People that have bodies can preach. Angels can't preach the gospel. You can't send the Holy Ghost down to the hospital to pray for the sick. You can't send the Holy Ghost to Africa to preach the gospel. You know why? Because He doesn't have a body. But now, if you will go with your body, He will go with you. So you see the position that Jesus has given to us as the body of Christ. We have become His body. See, He doesn't have a flesh, blood, and bone body anymore, physically Himself. He has a flesh and bone body. He spilled His blood for us. Now, He's seated there at the right hand of the Father, and we are the body of Christ, the believers. Every born-again believer, regardless of what church they name, they hang over the door, they are part of the body of Christ. Now, some of them may not like it because that we're part of it, but they'll just have to put up with it. Now, let's come back over here to Ephesians. I said that to give you some background. He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, come over here to verse 19 in the second chapter of Ephesians. "Now therefore, we are no more strangers nor foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Back up to verse 12. He said that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ. Then in verse 19, he says, now therefore ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. That's good news, isn't it? Come over to the third chapter. Verse 15. Let's start verse 14. For this cause I bow my knee to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Notice, the whole family in heaven and earth. He didn't say there's one family here on earth and one family in heaven of saints in the heaven. He considered us all to be one. The whole family in heaven and in earth is named. In other words, God doesn't see the saints that are in heaven. He doesn't see us any different from them. We're all of one family. We are of the body of Christ because of what Jesus did. Can you say amen?
I appreciate so much you joining us for the Concepts of Faith broadcast today. We're talking about authority and dominion, and our tape offer all of this week is offer number 7237. 7237, it's called The Dominion Principle. Two audio cassettes in an album for $12, plus $4 postage and handling, a total of $16. In this two-tape series, we talk about the fact that the Word of God is the incorruptible seed. You know, when I farmed, we didn't have incorruptible seed. We'd plant about 12 seed to the foot, you know, and we'd get up about 4. Two of them would die, you know, because of different reasons, and about 2 of them would survive, or maybe a few more. But we didn't have incorruptible seed. But thank God we have incorruptible seed with the Word of God. And when it is planted in the soil of a person's heart, it will produce exactly after its kind. Now, you don't plant tomatoes and get cucumbers. We all know that. You know, being a farmer for 29 years before I went into the ministry, these things come natural to me, but sometimes people don't stop to think that the seed that you plant has dominion over the soil. The soil cannot decide what to raise. So when you say, my God has met my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, because I have given, it is given unto me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, to men given to my bosom, I have abundance and no lack. My God has met my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, and the Lord is my shepherd, and I do not want. Well, when you say that, it might not be a fact in your life at the present time that you said that, but you're planting the seed. That's what God said about you. If you give, it'll be given unto you. There'll be abundance and no lack. So you plant the seed. It makes a demand on the soil of your heart. Find a way to cause this to come to pass. And I'm telling you, folks, it'll do it. It'll do it. It'll work miracles in your life. That's offer number 7237, two audio cassettes and an album for a total of $16, including postage. We have toll-free order line 1-877-396-9400. Until tomorrow, this is Charles Capps reminding you the enemy is defeated, God is exalted, and Jesus is coming soon.
To order the product offered on today's program, send your check or money order to Charles Capps Ministries. Or to place your order on Visa or MasterCard, call 1-877-396-9400. For more information about Charles Capps Ministries or for a schedule of meetings, write to Charles Capps Ministries, P.O. Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046. This broadcast has been sponsored by Charles Capps Ministries and our partners in this area.